Hi, this is Dan Kohler, APA's communications editor. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of 5x5. Today's episode is specifically geared toward new hires. It features Captain Mark Erickson, the APA Membership Committee's deputy chair overseeing the Compass Project, talking to two of his fellow Compass Project volunteers about everything a pilot should expect after being hired by American. They also discuss the numerous ways the Compass Project can be a resource for new hires. Captain Erickson, take it away.
Thanks, Dan, for the intro. Again, my name is Mark Erickson. I'm the deputy chair of the Compass Project, and today with me I have our new hire team, which consists of Craig Schneider, who recruits our sponsors from our talented pilot group, and we also have Eric Knopf, which manages our sponsors and our database for new hires. So what we want to kind of do today is kind of take the veil off of what the experience is like when you come to American Airlines. So we're going to have a conversation about that and ask a couple different questions to our two team sponsor, like again, Craig and Eric, and they'll introduce themselves here in a second. And Craig, why don't you go ahead and just give a little bit about what you do?
Well, thanks, Mark. So Craig Schneider here. I'm part of the Compass Project team. As Mark said, I focus mostly on recruiting the new hire sponsors. So we'll talk more about what that looks like, but that's basically my job.
I'm Eric Knopf. I'm also on the Compass Project Committee. As Mark alluded to, I work mainly with the sponsors and making sure we have the database and the sponsors have what they need. All of us on the committee are also sponsors ourselves, sponsoring pilots, so we all have experience doing that as well.
What should a new hire expect during their first couple of days at American?
Okay, so in the beginning, the first part of the in-doc course is called orientation. It's kind of welcome to the company. This is a part where you get to bring your spouse. There's a lot of fun and exciting things for that. And it's just learning the basic company policies, I guess is the best way to say it. And then after that, you transition into the basic in-doc course, which is your FAR 121, Part 121 type rules, all the ways that American operates. You get to go play in the pool and learn egress and things like that. And it's just the basic skills that every pilot at American needs to know.
You spoke about the spouse. Part of the new, are they able to participate during the first part of the training?
Absolutely. So the spouses are invited out. It's a positive space ticket that the company provides for the spouse to come out for the first few days of that in-doc training. There is a lot of valuable information that they want both the new pilot and the spouse to get. Things about compensation, things about benefits, non-rev travel, all those kinds of things. At the end of your second day, you're getting to that exciting time when you choose your first airplane and base, so your spouse can be there for that. And then the company puts on a banquet in the evening as well that all the spouses are invited to attend. After that, there's a few more things, and then that's when we kind of break into the pilot-specific stuff, and the spouses are really not going to want to stick around for most of that, and they take off and head home with their positive space tickets again.
Great. And it's not necessarily a spouse. I brought my dad to my in-doc, and he loved it. He thought it was great. So we're looking at about, give or take, 3 months of continuous, intense training. How's training going to affect my family, and what's the best way to prepare for training?
Well, you know, the best way to prepare for training is probably just to be, you know, to realize that it's a very intense experience, that, you know, you're going to be pretty busy. You're going to have a lot of, you have a lot of commitments. And I think, Mark, you said it well before when you said, hey, you know, change the air filter before you go, you know, get the lawn mowed, get a lawn service, you know, have a plan for, you know, getting the kids to school and stuff, and let your wife, husband, spouse, significant other know that you're going to be pretty busy during that time. And you might be gone for several weeks on end, depending on where you live and where you're commuting from. Now, there's plenty of time in the syllabus for us to work and learn and get proficient in our airplane. So we shouldn't be concerned about that. But it's an intense program. And there's not a lot of slop and free time. So as long as you manage the expectations up front and say, hey, for the I'm going to be an in-doc for a couple of weeks. I'm going to have several weeks at home of independent study. And that's not free time. I mean, I'm getting paid to be at home and to do independent study on my iPad. You know, that means that I'm doing that. I'm not out mowing the lawn or remulching the beds during those hours. You know, I got some work to do. It's not a day off. And then once I go into training, I'll be down in Dallas or Charlotte. And there's a good chance I'm going to be in the simulator in training for eight hours and then, you know, still have some things to do beforehand. So what can I do best to prepare? I would say is to get your house in order, get your personal affairs in order so that you're ready to show up on day one with a great attitude and be ready to focus your efforts on learning to fly your airplane.
Great. So I'm coming either from military, corporate, a flow through, another airline. How do I relate this experience to my previous experiences, and what can I do to be the best pilot at American Airlines?
Well, I tell you what, it's, you know, we've talked about it before that a lot of folks show up with a lot of previous experience. I mean, everybody who comes to American Airlines was a captain or a check airman or a commanding officer. Everybody was somebody with a position of authority at some point in the past. Well, guess what? You're going to show up here. You've got an airplane to learn, and you're here as a full member of the crew in a support role for the captain. So you got to remember that your job is not be the captain. That's not you anymore. Your opinion is welcome, but in the end, the captain's the one who makes the decision. So as long as you show up with that mindset that you're a full member of the crew, but in support, you're going to do great.
So when I come to NDOC, what really concerns me the most is, where's my base going to be? What is my aircraft assignment? And how is my seniority calculated? How does that happen?
Well, as I alluded to earlier in an earlier question, your seniority is calculated based on your NDOC class. All of you will have the exact same date of hire, and the most senior person will be the person who is the oldest on that day. So it's straight age. So if you show up and you're 64 and a half, you're probably going to be the most senior guy. If you show up and you're 24, you're probably going to be one of the most junior. On the second day of training, at the end of the day, you're going to get a list of all the available. It's going to show the airplane. It's going to show the base. And it's also going to show the expected training start and end dates for the training for that position. And the most senior guy is going to pick his first choice, and then they're going to go to the next most senior, and they're going to go all the way down the list. And if there's 60 pilots in the class, they're going to go all the way to number 60, and you're going to get whatever is left at that point.
I'm in NDOC on my second day, and I got a bid that I don't exactly like or want. When can I change it, and where can I go?
Well, that's a great question. So what we do is we have a minimum of about, I believe it's three vacancies award bids every year. So every year we have to have a minimum of three. And basically that's your opportunity to switch airplanes, to switch bases, whatever the case is. When you come into training, you might be awarded one of the junior bases, and you're going to have probably the 737 or the Airbus A320 family. That's kind of what we get here. And you're going to have one of those junior bases, and you're going to be locked into that airplane for the first 6 months on your first award. And then you're going to have an opportunity to change airplanes if you want, but you also have an opportunity to, you know, switch bases at that time. So, I guess, you know, Eric, what's the most common question you hear in a vacancy award?
Well, the first thing is, you know, well, what am I going to get out of NDOC, or what, you know, what are my first initial base assignments? If you're not preparing yourself to maybe go to New York, i.e. LaGuardia, Los Angeles, or Miami, you're probably not preparing well for coming to American. Those are the very typical most junior bases.
I'm not getting Charlotte out of NDOC?
No, probably not Charlotte or Dallas or Chicago. Those are the most senior bases for new hires to get into. The good thing is we've got a lot of new hires coming along in the next year, year and a half is what we're forecasting. So you're probably going to get movement pretty fast. As you alluded to, Craig, we have vacancies minimum of three per year, but usually more than that.
We've had more recently.
Yeah, we definitely typically have more than that. And every time one is open, you have the chance to move to that desired location, that different airplane, if that's what you desire. In addition, we have a union-sponsored program called the Mutual Base Exchange that you can also, if somebody's in Los Angeles and doesn't really like Los Angeles, in their they got it in their initial drop, and you got LaGuardia, and it's like, well, I'm a West Coast guy, and I'm stuck on the East Coast, and he's a East Coast guy, and he's stuck on the West Coast. You can mutually agree to switch within the same airplane, switch bases.
So it's just a trade.
It's essentially a trade, yes.
Outside of a normal vacancy award, I can actually just trade with another pilot.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Actually, I did know that. I'm pretending to be somebody who doesn't know that. yes. But actually, that's awesome. So we can have. So I guess the big question I get all the time is, and it is two questions. One, when do I get to Charlotte, or when do I get to Dallas?
Yeah. And it varies, and it's been as long at times I've seen 2 years, and sometimes it's less. I will tell you right now, we got some pilots that are some of the most junior pilots at all of American Airlines that just got awarded Dallas 737.
That's right.
And so they were hired, the last class that got hired prior to COVID, there are pilots already from that class who are the most junior that have got Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
If they were on the 320, it's not that way. So it really depends on where the company is going with things. But I would say if your end state goal is Dallas, Charlotte, Chicago, it's probably good to prepare yourself for maybe having to commute for up to a year. Be pleasantly surprised when it happens faster, but don't be upset when after 2 months you're not in one of those bases.
So you're saying that when I spent over 2 years based in New York, me personally, that's not unreasonable.
Absolutely not unreasonable.
Yeah. Yes.
It could happen.
Yeah. I'd also like to add that a couple of days prior to you showing up to INDOC, you will get a drop of airplanes and bases for you to think about what you're going to bid when the second day of INDOC. So you do have a little bit of advance warning of what's going to be available. But again, there's many processes, if you don't get what you like, to change that in the future.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. And I would say we've gotten to the point where in most of our crew bases, we have both the 737 and the Airbus 320. Highly unlikely that anybody anytime in the near future is going to get anything but those two airplanes. Sometimes strategically, if you're going to one of the few bases that only has one, now I'll use an example, Philadelphia only has the Airbus 320. There is
Chicago only has the 73.
Chicago only has the 73. If you want to get to Chicago, probably not a great idea to bid the 320 if you have the option.
That's
Pick the airplane that you want.
You're saying
outside of that, if your goal is to get to Charlotte or Dallas, they have both. So really at that point, it's, pick the one that's going to be the easiest for you to probably have to commute to for a period of time.
So this sounds like a great long conversation to have with my sponsor.
Absolutely.
That's great. Awesome.
You know, I come from a training environment that may or may not have been positive. I'm coming to, a major airline. What is the training environment like? Is it hostile, not hostile? Can you give me some more information on that?
Yeah, hey, great question, Mark. So, when you think about it, you've got to remember that Czech airmen at American Airlines are actually union pilots. They are members of APA. And their job is not to wash you out. Their job is not to find fault and to get rid of you. Their job is not there to break you and make you cry. Their job is actually to train you to proficiency so that once you are you're trained up, you go to training, you learn your airplane, and you get proficient at it so that you can go out on the line and be a productive member of the crew flying the airplane. So the job of the Czech airman is not to wash you out. The job is to actually teach you. And they do a great job here. The attitude of the Czech airmen and the simulator instructors at American Airlines is not every event's a Jeopardy event. It is not, oh my God, I'm going into the simulator today. I'm going to have to remember how many rivets there are in the 737 wing. That's not what we do. They're here to teach you to make you better. So the idea here is, if you think about it, in many other training environments, we've all been there. They can be hostile, they can be negative, they can be punitive. Here at American, it's a positive training environment. I don't want to oversell it. It's not that it's easy. It's not a cakewalk. you have to work hard. But if you show up with a proper attitude, you show up and you say, I want to work hard. I'm here to learn. I'm here to have fun. Well, you're probably going to do pretty well. As long as you're going to have plenty of time to prepare.
Yeah, one thing to add on there too is if you've come from a program, we follow the AQP model at American, and it's trained to proficiency. So if you get to a certain stage in your training and your instructors are like, boy, I think you would benefit from one extra day. Mm-hmm. You go and you just go an extra day. There's no jeopardy. It's no big deal. You get an extra day of training, and the last thing they want to do is send you to an actual checking type event like your check ride and not be prepared. So they will give you all the training you need so that when you're done with that training, they are absolutely confident that you're going to go to that check ride, whatever it is, whatever event we have that where you have to demonstrate proficiency, completely ready to go for that event.
Well, hold on a second. Eric, I do not believe you. I cannot believe you that American Airlines actually thinks that if I fail an event or if I fail this one right here, do you think that is really something that's going to happen? I just, that's never been my experience before.
That is the experience you will have at American Airlines. You are, from day one of INDOC, you are an American Airlines pilot. You have put in your time, you've put in your dues, wherever you have come from, flow through pilot, other regional, corporate, military, wherever it has, you have put in your dues, you have trained for your entire life for this job, and you have made it.
It's not something that really happens. I mean, how often does somebody really have one of these events where they don't get washed out, but they get some extra time? I mean, does that really happen?
Absolutely, it happens. I sponsored a guy. He was going through some things. He failed an event. Come to find out, his dad had just had a stroke. And he was afraid to tell anybody about it because he thought, if I don't tell somebody about this, it's going to be a big deal. And American Airlines gave him all the time he needed to take care of that. They brought him back into training and they got him through. And he is a first officer out on the line today flying with American Airlines. There are numerous stories like these out there of guys needing a little bit extra time, someone needing just a little bit more to this or that. And the simulator was having issues and I just didn't feel right. And I said, hey, can I get another day of training? And absolutely, they will get you that to make you feel comfortable. So when you get out on the line, you are the most safe and proficient pilot that we could produce.
Okay, so here's the thing. Going to American Airlines, that's my dream shot. This is what I've wanted to do my entire life. I finally got it. And you're telling me that when I finally get here, and if I got some personal family experience at home, that it's okay for me to reach out and say, hey, I need to go home and take care of something. And I'm not going to lose my spot.
Absolutely. This is a family. We need to take care of each other when we can. You have made it here. The job is not to wash you out and put you on the street looking for other work. You are here. You do no good to American Airlines if we don't get you to that point.
Guys, also, I want to emphasize to our new hires that American Airlines gives you the playbook. Everything that you're going to do in training is written out verbatim, so there is no surprises. So as a new pilot, obviously I'm going to go to either the Airbus 320 or I'm going to go to the 737. That's the most junior aircraft at American. Should I start studying those aircraft in advance?
No. You have absolutely, sorry to be fun, but you have absolutely no idea what your drop is going to be till right beforehand. So if you spend 3 weeks before you're about to start studying the 737 and you show up for, the first day and they say, here's your drop, and all the 737s are to Los Angeles and you live on the East Coast, you're probably not going to want to commute all the way across the country to that job. And now you have a whole new airplane. But studying a specific aircraft is almost assuredly a waste of your time.
So that's a great point, Eric. I'd like to also point out that, like, you and I were both military guys. I was a Navy guy. You were an Air Force guy. Neither one of us had any Part 121 experience. We showed up at American Airlines, and I didn't understand what the concept of a reduced thrust takeoff was. I'm like, why would you do that? I mean, if I have afterburner, I use it. Why would I reduce my thrust on takeoff? That sounds silly. And, you know, there are certain things that you just take for granted if you've been in this business for a little while that you just don't even know. Here's the thing, though. We showed up. We didn't prepare for that because we didn't even know that was a thing. But we still managed to succeed. We still managed to get through training because American Airlines gives us plenty of time, right? So we get done with our in-doc, that first period where we're talking policies and procedures, some flight operations manual stuff, and we get our date, we get our training, our training date, we get our aircraft, and we get an iPad, right? And so then on that iPad, there's an app on there for studying our systems and everything we need to know. And there's a syllabus. It's not like you're just reading a manual. There is a process. You're going to learn about the electrical system, and here's what you're going to know. And there's questions to study that we give you. And it's not a surprise. And the systems test that you take during ground school, guess what? All those questions they come from a question bank that is posted online that you have access to study. So you can study the question bank. So that brings up a good question. I know, Eric, you and I have talked about it before, that some folks will actually go out and find extra like gouge or study material, and they'll actually pay money. What do you think about that?
Like Mark alluded to earlier, it's really a waste of your money. Everything that you need to know to get through training, American Airlines will provide to you. In addition, we have the APA training committee that has all sorts of resources and experts that can help you get through training. Third-party, secondary sources, you never know what you're going to get when it was updated. They may be referring to Boeing or straight Boeing or Airbus procedures that the company has, and we may have, you know, slightly modified procedures for American Airlines, and all you're going to really wind up doing is by studying that is maybe having to unlearn something that you've just learned.
Yeah.
So go with the source information that comes from the company that you will be provided immediately upon getting your aircraft and in dock. You will get your iPad and you will have all that information and have plenty of time to study it.
That's a great point. So, you know, Mark, it's interesting. We're sitting here, we're talking all about training. We're not a training committee. We're actually a Compass committee. It's funny. I was sitting here thinking about it going, well, why is that? Because we end up getting so many questions as Compass sponsors from our new pilots. How do I succeed and how do I get through there? And a lot of that has to do with training. And in the end, the takeaway, I think, as you just said, is the company tells you how to succeed. Just go do it. And the best way to prepare for that is to show up with a good attitude, have your house in order.
This is part two of the podcast. What is the Compass Project?
We are here on behalf of the Allied Pilots Association, and we are the Compass Project, which is under the membership. What is Compass Project? Why have a Compass Project?
So good question, Mark. What is the Compass Project? The Compass Project is a APA union effort where there's a group of pilots who act as sponsors and mentors for this aspect of the Compass Project is for new hires. And when you come on as a new hire pilot, you are assigned a one-on-one sponsor, a mentor, somebody who is there for you to answer questions. You're going to get a phone number. You're going to have the ability to text them or email them. And they're going to have they're there for your guidance, to guide you and assist you in finding the answer. Now, the goal is not to hold your hand and babysit you. The goal is to help you find the answer and show you the source documents and say, hey, that's a good question. Let me show you where to find that answer so that you can, you know, it's that whole teach you to fish concept as opposed to just giving you a dinner, right? So we're going to teach you to fish the best we can. We're going to have a team of, you know, at one point we had over 100 sponsors for all of the new hires. You know, we're building that team back up as we ramp up after COVID. So there's a whole bunch of active line pilots who act as sponsors as part of the Compass Project to help guide the new hire pilots of any background to success. And basically our goal for supporting the new hire is really that initial part, that in-doc training, get out on OE and get yourself signed off and safe for flight and ready to fly the line. And then managing that first couple months in reserve, maybe a transition to the line. So in the end, you know, those first 6 months that Compass sponsor is really there for you. That's what the Compass Project is.
There's so much to learn as a new hire. I'm drinking out of a fire hose. There's information coming from American. There's information coming from the union. What are the best resources to help me with that transition?
Well, there are a lot of different resources that both the company has and as the Allied Pilots Association that we have. Obviously, Compass Project, your first stop is going to be that Compass sponsor that you get. Who that person is, they're a volunteer. This is not a paid position. They're not doing this to make money. They're there because they want to help other pilots. Many of them have recently gone through the new hire process, and they're the ones that have just gone through and seen how that process works so they can relate to you. It's not to say that somebody who's been here for 30 years can't help, but it's always nice to talk to somebody who's fairly recently gone through the process and knows what's going on. We're looking for a personal relationship with that person that we have out there so that it's somebody that you're comfortable dealing with and working with. The Compass sponsors are not necessarily the experts, but they know where to find the information and where the experts are. What are those things that we have out there? Well, number one, we have an entire library of Compass documents. So the first thing I do as a new hire sponsor is teach them to fish. Where do I find these documents? Because sometimes they aren't sure where to find it. Link them in, get the link to that document, and you will see this large library of information that we have that really helps you go from, I started off as somewhere else and now I'm here at American. Almost anything you can possibly think of, there's probably a Compass document that covers that information. Sometimes the hardest part is knowing which document to look in to find that information. And that's where your sponsor could be like, oh, it's in this document, you know, and look on page 8 of this document. That's where all that is. We do our best to do that. In addition, maybe there's something that the sponsor just doesn't know or doesn't know where to find. We have a hotline at Compass. It's right there on the webpage with all of our documents. That hotline, you're not going to get an answer right away all the time, but somebody within a day is going to get back to you with answers to you where to find that, or we can put you in touch with the right committee at APA to be able to answer your questions. We're not necessarily always the experts about every single thing, but we know all the different groups within the company and the union that can help you out to get that.
You know, as a new hire, I'm going through training. Then all of a sudden my buddy tells me, hey, did you put your bid in for next month? Or, hey, we're going on reserve. How is my Compass sponsor going to help me with that?
Well, great question, Mark. So when you're looking at switching to a new phase of, you know, phase of flying the line here. So we use PBS to bid for our schedules, and whoever's listening right now, you might not even know what PBS is. It's a software program that we use to bid for our schedule, and you put it into the computer, the gears turn, and a few days later something magical pops out and you have a schedule. It's pure magic, right? Well, the logic of PBS can sometimes be difficult because you got to think like a computer. Well, that's hard, right? If you've never done it before, maybe you have training. What's that?
And you're in training.
Oh my God, you're right. And you might be in training the first time you're bidding for PBS. Absolutely. So there is so much to learn there. And when you sit there, you go, hey, this is the point where our PBS bid window is the 8th through the 13th of every month. Awards come out on the 16th, right? And so if it is December 8th or 13th, we're bidding for January. So during that time, you can call your sponsor. They call you. You work out a good bid strategy. There's even a PBS help desk line that can help you. And there are professionals that can help walk you through a proper bid, input, for lack of a proper bid. But that's absolutely something where the sponsor can help walk you through that so that you don't just put in junk and end up with something you don't want.
Yeah, so you're busy with training. It's going to be your first bid. You don't have a lot of time to think about it. Ask your sponsor to give you a hand,
right.
They'll help you put your first bid in. Then later on, they'll be able to dial it down a little bit more so you understand the physics of it. And then if you want more advanced help, you can go to the PBS help desk.
And actually, that's a great point. So let's manage expectations here. So if I'm in training and I'm worried about my very first bid, there's a good chance I'm not very senior at this point, I think. Pretty sure I'm at the bottom of the seniority list, which means I don't really get what I want. I can guarantee you I'm going to be on reserve, Well, maybe I can't guarantee that. There's a really good chance that I'm going to be on short call reserve flying every weekend and every holiday. So there we go, right? As long as you know that that's probably going to happen, you can really focus on your training and not have to worry about it too much.
Managing expectations is the biggest thing there. If your expectation is you're going to come in as a new hire and have single day trips, you know, during the week, you're probably not managing your expectations. And it's also prioritizing your time. So like Craig said, your training is your number one thing. So that very first bid, it's probably not the one. But further on down the line, your sponsor will help you to refining that bid. And, you know, maybe now you can hold a weekend day off here or there. Or maybe you get to the point where you can now be a line holder and have defined set schedule with trips as opposed to getting them. But the typical answer is you're probably going to be on reserve that first month anyway, which kind of brings us to another big thing that your Compass sponsor does is explaining the reserve system at American Airlines. If you're coming from the military system, you probably have absolutely no idea what sitting reserve for this is. If you come from another airline, you probably think, oh, I know how reserve works. No, you don't. You know how reserve works at that other airline. Our reserve system, while it may look similar to other systems, there are some unique quirks and things about our system, and you really need to learn our reserve system at American Airlines. So that's one of the key things that a sponsor can do is help you in bridging that gap and learning the reserve system.
So that's okay. So I think it's fair to say that if I'm in training, my priority should be studying, working on basically passing check rides and things, and not worrying about putting in some PBS bid that probably the bid might not even matter because I'm probably going to be on reserve. I'm probably going to be working weekends and holidays. Okay, got it. So that's really not a big deal. However, once I get out there, I have, you know, I might now be flying OE, and the question might be, well, how do I actually fly the line? How do I handle my schedule? Now I have this schedule. How do I check it? So, but the point is that when we're flying the line, you're going to have questions about my schedule. Hey, I have this reserve award. Well, how does my wrap work? You know, what's a wrap? Yeah, I don't know what a wrap is. Eric. Exactly. So Eric does his, you know, we call Eric and he walks us through a nice long discussion about reserve availability and short call versus long call. Or maybe, hey, I am sitting in Cleveland and I don't know what happens next. And you go, hey, I don't understand how to read my schedule. How do I access my schedule? What are the tools? What the heck is CCI and why do I need to look at it? You know, these are all different things that if you're not here yet, you have no idea. Guess what? You don't need to worry about it. You're going to learn about it later from your Compass sponsor because that's the person who's going to show you how this works. And then we're going to help you learn how to list for a jump seat. We're going to help you learn how to call and square away any issues you might have with, you know, coordinating with the company or with the flight office. Because sometimes, hey, let's face it, sometimes people have issues and you need to go talk with the chief. Well, guess what? Maybe you want to run that by your Compass sponsor first and just get a second opinion. That's fine. That's what the Compass sponsor is there for.
Yeah. And we support you throughout this process of coming to the airline. In the first few months, it's very cookie cutter because you're going to show up, you're going to go to training, you're going to go through your initial operating experience, IOE, where you're actually flying the airplane with the check airman, and then you're probably going to wind up on reserve. Occasionally, you know, depending on how fast we're hiring and what base you get, you might get a line right away, but it's fairly typical. But we do much more than that. You know, we continue to go on. What happens past that 3-month point, 6 months down the line, a year down the line, at Compass, we also have a lot of other resources that we do. We can talk to you about benefits, getting in touch with the different benefit programs, you know, medical issues. What if I have a medical issue? What should I do? Who should I talk to? Big plug, APA medical advisors, very, very helpful. Okay, what about, you know, I'm having a baby, my wife's having a baby. How do I deal with that stuff? Parental leave. We have a parental leave section at Compass to help with that. There is a lot of resources out there that we have, a lot of things that we will do to try to do help you out because everybody's experience eventually starts diverging and gets different. in the beginning, it's very much the same and cookie cutter, but it starts diverging, and there's lots of questions that will come out there. That's where our hotline is key. That's where talking to your sponsor about what should I do next is key, and pressing on as you continue on down the system.
Eric, you touched on parental leave, but we have a lot of committees. And again, you don't, as a new pilot, have to know all these committees, but something will come up in a day-to-day that you go, I just don't know where to find that information. Reach out to your Compass Project. But Eric, what are some other committees that can help assist pilots?
That's one of the things I find that new hires often struggle with, is realizing that there's resources out there and that we have a lot of committees. You came from the military. Maybe you're an International Guard, Air Force Reserve, Navy Reserve, Marine Reserve, whatever. Well, what about my duty? Well, we have a Military Affairs Committee. Those pilots are there to help you. Reach out to them. We have every committee will have all their members on their webpage, on the website, through the APA app, and you can reach out to them. That's what their job is. They are there to help you. Do not feel like you're bothering them or wasting their time. They are there to help you. We have an aeromedical committee to deal with medical issues. In addition, we also have paid employees of APA that are there 5 days a week in the office with their sole job is to help with issues like that. Use them. Later on, once you get off probation, you will be paying dues into the union. Your union dues money funds their salaries. They are there to help you. You are not there to help them. They are there to help you. We have all sorts of other things. Project Wingman is a great program that helps when you've got, let's just say, stresses in your life and not sure what exactly to do. They have great people that can help you there. We talked about parental leave. There's a scheduling committee to deal with scheduling issues. There's a training committee. We have numerous committees. And everybody is there volunteering for that committee to make your life as an American Airlines pilot better, easier, get you the answers you need, and help you out.
Great, guys. So I just want to kind of sum up our talk here. We hope that we've lifted the veil here of what your kind of experience is going to be at American. Again, the objectives to be successful here are kind of leave your baggage and previous experiences behind. Come in, have a good attitude, willing to learn, and to just know that APA, the Allied Pilots Association, and the Compass Project are here to support you during probably the toughest 3 months of your career, but it's also going to be the most rewarding 3 months of your career, and we're going to continue support even and beyond that. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for your time today and all you do for the union and our fellow pilots. And to everybody out there listening, we cannot wait to see you on the line. Thank you.